Blog Talk Radio.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Counting stars.
Family, thanks for tuning in. We will also reset. Some of us were up kind of late last night, so we're going to start a little slow, and now we're going to reset it. And this is a little bit more about our pastor, Jesus, who leads us in all things.
Thank you. to Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and dead and buried. And I believe what I believe. It's what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God, not the invention of any man. God's mighty right hand. I believe that he's returning to judge the quick and the dead and the sons of men. And I believe what I believe. It's what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God, not the invention.
Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to gather in our retrocentric family. You've been doing amazing things and giving us similar messages and experiences and speaking to us and reinforcing the idea that we are a growing unit and your power is working through us. And I think we have, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We have Tana. Oh, hold on. There should be Tana.
Yes,
hi, Tana.
Hi, love you.
And I don't have everybody else unmuted, so I think this is Joe. Joe?
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Tana. Hi, Jerry.
Hi,
Joe.
Love you, Scott. Love you, listening.
Yep. Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
Joe. Hey, Tana.
My brother.
Jerry. Hi, everybody. It's Pat.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Pat.
Hi,
Mama.
How
Pat.
You doing? Hi,
hey, Mama. Thank you.
Hi, sweeties. I have a message from Roman he sent me, and he gave me permission to share it. So when you guys want to, you know, you want to get everybody on and stuff, it can be later.
Yeah.
And I have a reading later, too, from a book that's on prayer. It's pretty good on healing and stuff. Yeah. So,
and I think
whatever.
The person with that walkie-talkie phone called in. Is that Judy?
That's me. Hi, everybody. I'm not allowed. I can't talk right now, but I'm listening into the show. And
okay.
Hopefully I'll be able to share something later.
Okay.
What's that?
Love
okay,
you.
Love
okay.
you guys. Just listening now.
Love you.
Okay.
Love you. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Oh.
Okay, Pat.
Okay. I asked Roman if I could share this, and probably you guys know this because he probably put it in chat a bit, but I'm going to read it anyway. He said, I read the email and heard what you said at the start of the show. Pat, this is crazy. New revelation. I know what this means. And he's talking about today. He says, we are going to leave. England time, 7:30, 8 o'clock a.m., or California time, 11:30, 12 p.m., midnight. This is when we leave. It is time. Pat, I know exactly why Jesus told you to send me that email. Wow, I asked God for a number, so I went on a random, listen to this, this is weird. I went on a random number generator, 1 to 1,000, and I pressed it, and God gave me 7368. Do you see? 7:38 to 8 a.m., and you got 7:30, well, I had 7:32, I had 7:33, maybe it was a typo on my part, but it was just one number off. He says, wow, it will happen tonight, I know it, and England time, 7:30, 8 o'clock a.m., and in America, that would be 11:30 to 12 p.m. California time. Wow. And Pat, normally I get deja vu, this is interesting, like less than one times a week, but in the last 24 hours, I have had deja vu 5 times. And when I was thinking about 7:33, when you were saying it, I had a deja vu then. I have been getting so many signs lately, so many, that we are just about to leave. And I know it is literally tonight. Get ready, Pat. I love you. Wow. Yeah, so that's Jesus is amazing. So he said I could share that with you. He wrote that at 9:06 p.m. That was last night, I guess. So, yeah. So
that was,
he was all excited.
That was last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few of us stayed up pretty late. I think Roman fell asleep at the computer. I'm not sure.
Probably.
it was like 8 o'clock his time.
Yeah. The other one he sent was, he said, yes, Pat, you may share when I send you. He said, definitely. I really believe that it is time of when I will be flying. Then he gave the times again. It's time to fly. Some of us all stayed up all night waiting for the translation. Ha, ha, ha. Get ready because it's probably tonight. Oh, yeah. Thank you for the amazing – that's just personal stuff. Yeah, he says, it's time, Pat. It's time.
Wonderful. The Romans just stay up all night and then just warn us, you know, go in the chat room and then just text us like he feels coming or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be asleep.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
We love you, Roman.
We love you, Roman.
Don't go to sleep at all. Please stay up the next couple days.
No, we're supposed to stay up tonight a little bit, so
okay.
We'll stay up to 12 anyway. I'm usually up anyway till 12 or 1, so it's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, not always. No, I was. I don't know. I'm very, very sleepy today, but I can stay up late, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's exciting. We're going to
get
raptured.
Oh, it is.
Yay.
It is. It's got to be. It's got
to
be.
It's so nice to talk on. It's so nice, you know, when we went out and we went to the healing session today. And it's so nice, I have to say, wherever I go, it's always just so nice to come. You know, my brother and I always talk about rapture all the time. So it's just it's so nice. When we go out there in the real world and we mention it to the healing people, they just, it's weird. They'll talk, you know, these healing ministries, they know the Bible. I mean, they're very close to the Lord and they know their stuff. But you mentioned rapture, you can get them to go silent for a good 20 minutes if you want. I mean, it's so weird, you know.
Nobody's preaching.
I mean, you know, they're like
nobody
a step out of the church.
It. No,
you know, they're head of the church because they
know
all the answers. But, yeah, you bring that up, and, boy, it's just.
I know. It's sad. It's very sad.
So I was like, gosh, I told my brother, I just love it. It's so nice. I mean, I have my YouTube friends and my, you know, my Facebook friends, and we we talk rapture non the bride that I hooked up with, we all talk rapture nonstop, but we'll just email each other on the events and what's going on. But with Sis Nice RCC, I always told Ken, it's so nice today just to talk all about the rapture. And everyone that wants to talk about the rapture, it's just such a nice, wonderful thing. It's so great, you know.
It's wonderful to talk about it. Because, number one, so many people are getting this. Number two, you look at the timing of Israel.
Yes.
You look at the time of a generation. You look at the world going nuts. I mean, every day it's getting worse. It's not going to take much more to just tip this world over its edge. There's nothing out there for anybody. So,
yes.
You know, we're in the season. We're in the season. So it's any time. It's got to be. It's got
to
be.
Absolutely.
And God loves children, so he sees it. What kind of a world is this for our children? Not.
True.
You know, yeah. He sent a message to someone. He was complaining all about the technology and how parents are going to answer, and that the kids' whole life, it's like they're being born with a computer in their hands. You know, he was being whatever.
Yeah.
And he said that it's just you've ruined your kids because you don't have any controls on the computers and the cell phones and all these gadgets and things. And he says, this is going to be families in hell because the parents have absolutely not done anything for their children to bring them salvation. They've let them just go off with all this electronic stuff, and there's no God, there's no nothing, there's no Jesus.
Play
everything
games,
is machines and technology,
and
so this is the world we're living in. How much longer?
The whole world, that's why I always told Lord sometimes, I say, Lord, the reason why I love heaven so much is because there can be no cell phones, no computers, because I really hate the fact that we all spend.
Yeah.
If you look at how many hours people spend on cell phones, computers, we're all just stuck doing it, hours and hours and hours of our lives. I mean, if I told someone to sit in a chair for 10 hours, they'd say, Keith, you're crazy. But if I put them in front of a computer, they'll sit there for 12 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's just
crazy. Exactly. Yeah, it's
these
nuts. And games and
they're playing video games for 8 hours on average.
And most of the stuff is crap. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
it's violent.
Oh,
it's bad for you. It's sensual.
Yeah.
It's a kill this one and war things and dragon things and evil things. Yes, he's feeding their souls. So this was a very strong message. Maybe I'll read it to you at another time. That came in on the Joyce list. But God is furious at parents who don't keep control and that there's no God in the house. This all it is cell phones and computers and iPads and everything else.
Yeah,
this has overtaken everything.
No.
Yeah, so this is no place for the kids out there.
I had a wonderful vision today I wanted to share about.
Yeah.
Is it all right if I share it, Jerry?
Sure, yeah, go ahead. But you know what, before you do, I think Michelle called in. Let's find out if Michelle, I think it's Michelle.
Okay.
Is that you, Michelle?
Oh, yeah, later on.
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hey,
Michelle. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, honey.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good. Do you want to share something or just pop it in?
Yeah, I had gotten a word from the Lord when we were doing our quiet time yesterday. And I was just wanting to share that. And also, I tried to post it on YouTube, but for some reason, YouTube isn't allowing me to post anything more. So I guess I'll be sharing it on here.
What happened, Michelle? The video is not working or is not uploading?
It literally tells me that you're not allowed to post videos.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. I've never had it happen before.
Okay. Maybe it's just a glitch or something. Yeah, maybe it's just a glitch. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my word.
Oh, yeah.
My beloved, I am ready for you now to hold you in my embrace. I love you so much. I cannot wait to be with you, my love. There are many things I want to show you. Now is the time for me to come. I will marry you soon. I am excited. Be ready. Be on the lookout for my appearing. I love you. Love your groom, Jesus.
Oh, wow. That's so great. That is so great.
Very sweet. Very rare.
Very
I love
sweet.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Super.
You know, it's just amazing how similar everybody's messages are that they've gotten from him.
Yeah.
For several days, but especially yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michelle, will you read that again?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My beloved, I am ready for you now to hold you in my embrace. I love you so much. I cannot wait to be with you, my love. There are many things I want to show you. Now is the time for me to come. I will marry you soon. I am excited. Be ready. be on the lookout for my appearing. I love you. Love, your groom, Jesus.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Aw, thank you. Yay.
Oh, yay.
And he gave me that word right after I read Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's in play right now, for sure.
Wonderful.
Why did you, Michelle, why did you read Song of Solomon? Is that just something you were interested in reading or you normally read or what?
Yeah, I just, especially after reading, I think it's chapter 2, where it kind of talks about the winter is past, the rains have gone. It kind of, I don't know, seems like that passage refers to maybe after winter, then the us leaving mm-hmm. after winter in the springtime. So I was like, well, I think I'll read the rest of it just to see what I get from it. And definitely, he was speaking to my heart. It was like a love letter, basically.
Oh, yes.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. I never knew that was in Song of Solomon. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Loving that.
Boom.
Beautiful.
Honey. Hey, Tana, I wanted to check with you because sometimes you have to go away because you're at work. Do you have anything you want to say or do you have to go away at some point?
I do have to go to work, but I get to always get to leave closer to the end of the show. So I'm here for a little
That's
bit.
Okay. Yay.
Yeah, really,
good.
Did I want to say, does someone want to read Jason 302's thing he got yesterday in chat? That
yeah.
Did you email that later?
I've got that. I can, you know, let me get Keith, because Keith was going to go. So, Keith, do you want to go now? And I think you had.
I was just going to share something.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I will get to Jason's word. It's right. I've got it right in front of me. Well, almost in front of me. There.
The vision that I got was super cool. The vision is, okay, so we're all in an airplane, and Jesus is the pilot, of course. This is good for me and for all of us. So, basically, it's like, you know, whether you want to see it the rapture plane, we can call it the rapture plane. We'll just say it. We'll call it the rapture plane. So we're all on the rapture plane heading into the heavenly pearly gates, you know, and we don't know how long it'll be or whatever, you know. So we're on the plane, and, you know, there's like, for instance, there's all of us are on the plane. So the vision I got was like, so one person's on the plane, and they're totally freaking out. They're stressed out. They're like, oh, my gosh. They saw, you know, the plane starts to see some clouds covering the windows, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, what is that? What is that? They're like, they're stressing out. And, woo, they're yelling and just, ah. And then, you know, there's someone next to them telling them, just don't worry about it. It's okay. Hang in there. And they're just, whoo, man, that's stressful. And then all of a sudden we go, you know, we keep flying, and then there's sun. It's sunny, you know, and you can see the sun, and we got out of that cloud zone and all that turbulence, and they're just like, oh, man, I feel so much better now, you know. And then all of a sudden we start descending pretty rapidly, and then this person's just like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Why are we descending? Oh, I just can't believe we're doing this. I mean, we should never, he's pounding on the door, trying to talk to Jesus the pilot. Jesus, what are you doing? Are you sure you know how to fly? Because I'm worried about you. I thought you were God. Wait a minute, what are you doing? And then, so then he calms down because the plane stabilizes again, you know. And then there's another kind of person on the plane, and the person, we'll call her Pat, you know. She's calm, and she's reading her Bible, and, you know, the turbulence comes, and Pat looks over and sees the turbulence, but she just looks back, and she opens the Bible to one of her special verses, and then she kind of savors that, has peace in her heart while the plane is shaking and rattling and rolling. The other person is screaming still, so that's Jerry, so freaking out, like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He's rattling. He's going, I gotta go talk to the pilot again. Pat, are you okay, Patrick? I'm fine. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling calm. Pat's like centering herself and praying, and Jerry's pounding on the door. Jesus, are you sure? How long have you been a pilot? Do you know what you're doing? Because I'm worried. Are you sure? And we've got
that's
another
terrible
person on the plane who, you know, this person's Donna. She's good. She's like Pat. She's really calm. But every so often, she looks over and sees Jerry freaking out. She starts freaking out, like, oh, my gosh, maybe Jerry's right. The plane is going, we're going down. We are all going down. We're going down. Oh, my gosh. And the plane is shaking, and we're, oh, no, this is not good. You know what? I'm going to go talk to Jesus at the front, too. And she's pounding the door. Her and Jerry are hitting the front door. Jesus, stop it, please. And the plane goes back to normal. Okay, so this is all my vision, you know. And I'm using those people for fun, but, you know, it could be any one of us, you know. And the key is like, so we're all on this plane, and, you know, we're all flying, which means it's, we're in our lives, and it's the faith plane, right? We're on, faith is like we're all in God's hands. We're on the plane. But you can choose to act like Jerry and be for Jerry, the trip is very stressful. He's just sweating. He's knocking on the door. He's back in the seat. You know, the second the plane rides, the turbulence stops in his life, he's like, I'm so good to go now. I've learned my lesson. And then it starts up again. He starts yelling immediately, right? And then you've got Kaz is just calm all the time, right? Or you could be like Tana back and forth. But Tana's pretty centered. But, you know, I'm just using it as a fun example. But either way, you can see how, you know, do you want to be like the person that's always stressed and doesn't have any faith? Or do you want to be a person like Pat where you're just, you see the storms, but you just grab your favorite verse? Or like Tana, right, where she was calm, but then all of a sudden she just completely freaked out, and then she went back to normal. Or Jerry is standing on the door going, Jesus, are you sure you're a pilot? Because, Lord, I don't even know what you're doing. And, you know, and he's back in the seat. So, see what I'm saying? Life is like this. It's all about faith. So you could either make it a really stressful trip where you're just stressed out 24 hours a day, or you can have a peaceful trip. It all depends on where your faith lies and how much you really want to trust in the Lord, you know, and lean on him. You've got that faith and you really trust in him. We're all on the plane, so we know we're in his hands and we know where the plane is headed. So it's up to us to decide how we want our trip to be along the way. And that was the vision that I got.
Oh, that's yeah. Cute.
That's hilarious. I'm sorry, dear. I had to use you for the funny one. You popped in my mind. I said, oh, my gosh, that's great.
He basically had a dream of a plane and it had a lot of turbulence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And it's true, like, you know, like, right, we can decide if we want it to be a stressful trip, and we all know people like that, and or we can decide if we want it to be a calm trip and make our stay centered and, right, it's up to us. It can be, you know, Jerry's on the plane, he's just stressed out 24 hours. Well, it's a stressful trip. But Pat was calm and peaceful and so happy, right?
Next
and
time, send
different.
Me up to the plane. Next time, send me up to the door and I'll knock and say, Jesus, I have a few people who are stressing out here. You want to fly the plane straight a little bit? What are you doing?
And we've all been at the door knocking, going, Jesus, are you sure you know what you're doing? What's going on?
Exactly. That's a good analogy, yes.
Right? And we've all been in the seat going, I feel so relaxed. You know, we've all been in a position where, like, you know what, we've got it made now. We're good to go. And the next time the plane, whoa, wait, what's going on? We start freaking out immediately, you know. Right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it's
wow.
It's a good one, huh, Pat? It was a good decision.
Oh, that's a good analogy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We'll have to call the angels to straighten out the plane, I guess. Jesus fell asleep.
But it's funny because
you
know,
tired.
And Jerry's knocking on the door saying, Jesus, are you sure you're a pilot? You know, God does everything, but that's many times what we're doing, right? We're like, are you sure?
He took a one-day course and he was still figuring it out.
We just have to remember Jesus is drunk on the Holy Spirit, too.
Oh, yes, he is. That's
oh,
why.
So
that's
funny.
Why. We figured it out now. Okay.
That's why the plane is descending really fast and then coming back up.
It's like, Lord, pull up. Well, I know how to fly, so I could have gone in there and piloted for us, so that would have been okay. Just kidding. Yeah, I know enough to put it straight.
Yeah.
Oh, gads. But I had to quit the flying because everyone was freaking out I was going to crash because I have 5 kids. And how responsible are you flying an airplane? Yeah. That was my favorite thing to do because I was raised in them from my father and my uncle and stuff. So I have no fear at all. My father could even drive the big ones. Yeah. But I had to quit. I had to stop. And I learned on a 43 club tail dragger how to fly, you know. So anyway. But anyway.
Wow.
But yeah. Yeah,
cool.
If he needed help, I would have gone in and helped him. I would have woken him up and said, okay, I'll take over. Give me the headphones. I'm having fun with you. Yeah. You know, Jerry, before you left, I wanted to read this thing on prayer. It's only a couple of paragraphs. It's from the book Our Daily Bread. So if you, it's on, it comes from James in the Bible. It says James says that the effect of this girl was, this woman was praying for, I'm just going to make it short. She prayed for her sister had cancer. She got well. And then her friend said, oh, I'm thankful that God answers with a yes this time. And then James says that in the Bible, he says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, 5:16. But does effective and fervent mean the harder we pray or the more people we ask to pray, the more likely God is to answer with a yes? I've had enough of no and wait answers to wonder about that. Prayer is powerful, but it's such a mystery. We're taught to have faith, to ask earnestly and boldly, to persevere, to be surrendered to his will, yet God answers in his wisdom, and his answers are best. I'm just thankful that God wants to hear our hearts, and that no matter the answer, he is still good. I like old Hallaby's words, prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only those who are helpless can truly pray. Your helplessness is your best prayer. We can do helplessness quite well. That's from, was called Ann Cetus. And then this is a prayer. Lord, I've been taught many times about prayer. Be pacific, be bold, be surrendered, be strong in faith, be persistent. Today I recognize my helplessness and your power as I share my heart with you. And then prayer is the child's helpless cry to the father's attentive ear. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah.
And it's from James 5,
that
verse 16.
That was really interesting, Pat. So what is...
Yeah.
So that you're kind of saying, so then sometimes, what, if a lot of people pray, right? What was that part, if a lot of people pray? And you can get more yeses, or...
It says here, James says that her sister was cured. She said, and she said the statement, her friend said to her, I'm so glad there's power in prayer. And the woman responded, I'm thankful that God answered a yes this time, the word this time. Meaning, he says here, prayer is very powerful, but it's such a mystery. We're taught to have faith, to ask earnestly and boldly, to persevere, to be surrendered to his will. Yet God answers, and this is, I guess this is the answer, in his wisdom and his answers are best, meaning that, you know, we're always not going to get what we think we're supposed to get or want to get. God's going to answer us. He always answers prayer, but he will give us the best answer that's best for our soul, that we grow and come close to him. It isn't always going to be what we want, and we have to understand that, I guess. And she says, I'm just thankful that God wants to hear our hearts and that no matter the answer, he is still good. So no matter the answer, he is still good. We have to remember that. Yeah.
What's your opinion on that, Jerry? What do you think? Do you think if more people pray that God will, there's a better chance of getting a yes out of that, or what do you think?
You know, more and more, I have just been led to see and embrace the idea that everybody's individual walk is different enough that in a certain situation, the expectations are different. And while in our group, we're getting incredibly positive, reinforcing common messages on a personal basis, you know, I think we need to be prepared to receive something in our own context first, whatever that is. So, I think it depends on the person.
Really? Michelle, are you still there? Michelle there or not? She must have left. Pat, what do you think of that? What's your opinion on that? I'm just curious. What do you think? More people pray,
I'm always at the point of total trust in the Lord, total relationship with him, and that if you talk to him about something, of course he's going to answer, but I'm prepared that if he says no, because he knows what's best. Sometimes he'll always answer prayer, and sometimes he does give us something better than what we asked for. This is very true. But always he's going to answer, and always it's going to be for your soul. Maybe right at the moment you want something answered, but he knows, he's seeing the whole picture. He sees the tapestry from the front. He knows exactly how the picture's going to play out. He knows what's good for us. And sometimes, even though we think we're praying for something very good, in his eyes, it's not very good. It's got detrimental aspects. Maybe if he answers a yes, we're not going to grow as much. Something's going to happen to maybe take us away from him a little bit. We think it's great, but he's God. And again, he says his thoughts and his ways are not ours. So we always have to trust. Jesus, I asked you, I know you're going to answer this, but you're going to answer it in your way, in your time, and what's best for my salvation, best for my relationship blossoming with you. So like she said, no matter what the answer, he is still good. That's what we have to remember.
Do you think more people praying would influence that?
Okay, wait a minute, though. When like you hear stories where a person is sick in the hospital, a kid, I'm just going to put it out there, but I don't know the answer to this exactly, but you have maybe 300 or 400 people praying and you see absolute cure. Was it because the 300 or 400 people added their prayers to that, or because God already made up his mind, yes, I'm going to cure this person? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Maybe somebody else could answer that better than me. I know God heard the prayer. He knows what he's going to do, whether there's one person praying or 5,000. Okay? That's my answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think there's an influence on if a lot of people pray.
I'm sure it affects God's heart very much.
I mean, I've seen that when I look in the spirit realm, I can see the ceiling over the bride. And how it's like a metal ceiling. Oftentimes, I see an enemy will be blocking prayers, which he does. But then, if I praise him, it'll open up, and then I can send prayer through. So I see that happening too. So I do think sometimes more prayers could change that, because if prayers could be blocked,
possibly.
Maybe 10,000 people prayed it without faith, and then one prayed with faith. So that 11,000th prayer, whatever, changed it. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I just know God heard the prayer. He knows the situation. And whether he says yes or no, he never says maybe, or he might say later on, he might do it in the future. That's up to him. We have to trust that he knows what's best, and we have to accept, because we love him, what his best is, whether it's now or whether it's not or whether it's to come. We have that relationship of trust. You've got to trust God. You've got to trust his answers. You have to know and trust that he heard you and that he is going to answer. Now, either he's going to do it or he's not going to do it, because, as I said, he doesn't think that's best for you, or maybe he'll delay it and do it in another time. Sometimes when I pray, I know it's not going to be within this minute. It might not be in that day or week or month. Maybe it's going to be a couple of months from now he'll answer my prayer. I don't know. But I have the assurance, I have the peace, I have the joy that my beloved heard me. He heard me. He heard me, and he knows. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what the answer is, and I'm going to trust him for it.
Well, my favorite verse in the Bible is that one. There's a verse in the Bible, I forget where it's at, but you can find it if you Google it. It's my favorite verse, one of them. And it says, if you ask anything according to God's will, he heard you. And if you heard you, then you know what you have. You'll get what you asked for. So if it's in the Bible that, with Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all my needs according to his glory, which is Christ Jesus, or the healing one, Isaiah 52:5. So you ask God, if it's in his word, which means his will, then he says he heard you. And then if he's heard you, he said he will give you what you asked for. So if you find it in the Bible, it means you got it for sure, 100%.
If it's good for you, if that's his will for the moment, that you're going to flourish from this or grow from this or come closer to him or whatever, basically, yes, I would say 99% of the time, yes. But sometimes he knows that if he granted that right away, maybe that would be, a block, or maybe you're not going to come close to him, or maybe you're going to, knows in the long run
timing.
What's good for you. Yeah.
Then it's the timing is question, Go ahead, Jerry.
Trust. Yes, honey, go ahead.
It's God's will, it's God's timing. Sometimes he'll answer right away, sometimes not. And speaking of blocking, you're talking about blocking prayers. I listened to a YouTube video about someone who was working for the evil one and then came over to the Lord, and he was telling how the evil one works and how they do block prayers. And the best way to get prayer through to God is to read God's word first and then pray, because God's word opens up all the channels and it goes straight up to God. You read some of God's word, just God's word first, like some Bible verses, and then you pray.
The Psalms. Read the Psalms. The praise Psalms, and then pray.
Yeah. Right.
Because or you can, I use a verse with the prayer, like, God, your word says this, and I quote the verse, and then I pray. You know, I use his
That's
word.
That's a great idea.
You got,
yeah, oh, yeah,
you
I do it with everything.
Yeah, everything.
You know, that
yeah,
goes...
You got to, like, do more than one thing. You got to spend time reading his word, like, just spewing out Bible verses and then do it, not just one according to your word. You got to, like, you just got to be, like, saying God's word or listening to,
soaking.
You know, music. So none of, yes, you can't block praising the Lord, praising and worshiping the Lord, and then pray.
And then you do it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why when I praise him, I see the throne open up. So that makes sense. Because you've got to get rid of that negative energy and, you know, whatever.
The Psalms are great for that. If you're in a real bind and stuff and you're really feeling bad about something, just open up the praise thing to the, you are my God,
yeah.
And praise you, and then have petition. Because I've read that always when you start your prayers, praise, then thanksgiving, and then petition, in that order. Yeah. So the Bible would help very greatly with that.
And there's that verse on that too, right? If you praise God and give him thanks and then the peace of all understanding, whatever, you know, that verse.
Yeah,
So that makes sense.
Yeah, but he loves to be praised, but I've read that. Praise, petition, thanksgiving, and then petition.
Jerry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, actually, a couple of things. We had Katie on the line, but she dropped. Hopefully she'll call back.
Oh,
and Nick is,
Katie.
Nick is on the line, but I think he's muted on purpose, so I'm going to let that be for now. But I was going to, where I was going was just right where Pat went and also you, Keith, about timing. I mean, we, more than anything, a lot of times, once we get to know him and seek him, so much of the time we have a timing problem in our human existence. And we just don't, it's hard to acknowledge that he's going to find a time and place that's going to work out really well when you can't see it from where you're at in a moment. And timing is so much, and timing, he uses timing so much. He'll pre-position things, and there will be a proper time and moment for everything to come in place. I mean, we kind of, even this show works that way a lot of times, where pieces just click into place. So he uses timing so much, and it's such a hard thing for us to have a peace with.
Yeah.
I think. Because
absolutely.
It's just so intangible. Yeah. And it's so intangible. Yeah. You know, and
yeah.
And then once it all clicks in, it's like, oh, that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it and Brett, you know, when you look back on it, but you can't ever anticipate all of the variables that he's going to use to make everything just right.
Yeah. Well, plus we live in a now. In our world, you can have everything now, and so we don't want to wait for anything. So, and that includes our prayers.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Later, if you want, I'll read out another beautiful thing on from Darlene Sala. It says, "Pour out our hearts." It's all on prayer. When you you want to get other people on and stuff.
I was going to say, and I agree that it's like if it's according to his will, he'll answer the prayer. And sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers because it's not according to our path or his will for us. Even though we may want it and think it's great, he sees the bigger picture, and that's not what he has planned for us. He has something planned differently. So I totally agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you want me to, I'll see. I'll
read the prayer thing, Pat.
Okay.
I want to...
Yeah, go
you know
ahead,
what? I feel like I should get to Jason's word because I don't want to leave that.
Oh,
yes,
too
do
long.
That. Yes, do that.
And,
yes.
And before I do that, I just one more thought that I had while we were all talking about that was I think it was Tana mentioned, you know, reading the Word of God and so you know, before you pray and or as a beginning of prayer, and the phrase that came to my mind was just seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's just one way that can be implemented. You know, when
excellent.
We put that first, it creates a foundation for all the things that we do, whether it's in our practical lives or our prayer life. It's just one more way to put him ahead of all the other things. And, you know, and he lets us do that. You know, he could be a God that says, you know what, You go out there, and when I feel like it, I'll come next to you. But he gives us things that we can hold on to, and, mm-hmm. At least in faith, we can put him out in front of everything. And so seeking first the kingdom of God in all the different ways, whether it's the word of God or in a bigger picture, which is, I think, how often that scripture is interpreted. But, if you lay scripture before your prayer, you're putting the kingdom of God before your prayer.
Yes.
Yeah, and the enemy shudders at the word of God. So the enemy is going to flee. Once you start sending the word of God up, they're going to they get burned when they hear the word of God. So they're going to run away and not, stand in the way of your prayer.
Okay, so I've got a little bit of frog in my throat, but I'm going to try to get Jason's word through here. Jason from chat, he had this experience, and he sort of starts out, I'll summarize it. He's talking about the words we've gotten as a group over the last several months and high expectations for certain days and things didn't happen. And then he continues, so I decided today that I would read the entire book of Ruth again. Actually read it for the first time earlier this year, and see what God would reveal to me. The scripture that jumped out at me was Ruth 2:23. So Ruth stayed close to the woman of Boaz to glean the barley and wheat harvest until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. What's interesting about this verse is that the wheat harvest ends at Pentecost. So Ruth stayed with Naomi until Pentecost. She then went to Boaz and laid at his feet and was married shortly thereafter. Ruth is representative of the bride of Boaz is a representation of Christ. Just as Ruth married Boaz shortly after Pentecost, so too will the Lord Jesus come to translate rapture his bride shortly after Pentecost. I'm not sure if anyone else received this word or not, but as always, take it before the Lord and see what he says. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jason. So he's having this experience and being directed toward Ruth. And this is exactly what was discussed on the program the couple of days that I couldn't call in or listen in real time. When you were all speaking about Ruth, and so he's really gotten this message that, just after Pentecost, after the harvest is finished, was when it was her opportunity to lay at his feet, and Boaz arranged for the marriage. So that's a nice word for Jason, and he was, really pursuing and being led, and it seems to me he was being led exactly the same way so many of us were a few days ago during the middle of the week when Ruth was discussed, I think, on the evening show quite a bit. And I will add to that, in that that night, I think that would have been Wednesday night, Wednesday evening, while you were discussing Ruth, although I didn't know it, I was sort of having a prayerful conversation about marriage and marriage in heaven, and which we've discussed here quite a bit, and he gave me what I think was a pretty powerful insight on that, but it just, it was just on that occasion that I was thinking about marriage, and you all were speaking about Ruth, and here Jason is also being led to Ruth and the marriage with Boaz. So God is really powerfully connecting us and our spirits with the topics that we consider, just like yesterday, which was absolutely amazing, the different things that we had in common yesterday. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's Jason's word. Does anybody have? And I can go on just a little bit about that, but I just want to make sure, see if anybody has anything they'd like to say about that.
not the place for it. I was just saying, no, Stacy was posted a word she had gotten in chat last night, and she didn't write it down, so I was just wondering if anyone had written down Stacy's word from chat last night after our 2 hours with the Lord.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I read it when I got into chat, but I didn't realize she was getting it while she typed it.
Do you remember what it said?
Well, I don't remember what it said.
That's okay. Maybe someone from chat
like,
can send it over to us.
Yeah, yeah. We were both, in fact, I think, yeah, Stacy's gone, neither do I. She typed it in. I don't know. It's in the chat log, but anyway, it was very powerful, and it was also about marriage, and it was very much like the word that I got and the word Michelle got, and very powerful, fairly short, and very direct about coming for the marriage, if I recall correctly.
Jerry, what was did I hear the word you got? Or was it yesterday that you read it and before we started?
Let's see. I don't know. Let's see if I can pull that up. One of the things that the Lord told me, you know, there's this scripture where Jesus is asked about marriage in heaven, and it's formed as a riddle. It's one of these questions that the Pharisees cranked up to fire at him to try to put him in a bind. And they basically said, you know, there's one woman had been the wife of several brothers, whose wife would she be in heaven? And he said, well, you don't really have it right because you don't understand, you know. And then he goes on to say, you know, there's no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. And giving in marriage is actually sort of the literal meaning of the word that's used, giving away there. But I was just sort of inquiring about that because so many of us have had visions or gotten words that there are partners in heaven and for us and or can be. And he just told me straight out, he said, those marriages were under the law of Moses. And because he's fulfilled the law of Moses, it does not apply in heaven, which is an explanation for why he says there's no marriage, you know, in that context. So it struck me as fairly profound because it's such a simple, elegant answer to what otherwise would be a very complicated question. He's saying, you know, those marriages that are being discussed are under the law. Actually, it's what he directly said. They're under the law.
Yeah, I didn't think there was marriage in this passage. And then I found out that there was marriage, and I found out who I was marrying in heaven. I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, little John had gotten it too, and Judy. So I'm like, and several other people. So I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I've never been married and wanted. I've always wanted to be. So.
I figured the question would come up sometime, and so I was just praying about it. And at the same time, you guys were speaking about Ruth in marriage. I was having this conversation. I didn't even know what you were speaking about. And he just basically said that's under the law, and because I fulfill the law, that law doesn't apply in heaven. So. For those who are curious about that apparent conflict, once again, he has a very straightforward answer for him.
Hmm.
So here's the word I got. I think I've got the correct one here. This is from yesterday evening. To those who pursue me, faithful you are to follow my trail of breadcrumbs. My love abounds in you. This foundation will carry you forward. I do these things so that every step is taken, Each step you take has merit and purpose. There must be no shortcuts. This is why I show you a little at a time. Also, I motivate you to continue to see clues from me. Resting in my loving grace, seek to share this place with others. Remind people of my love and grace, which I will spread towards all as the opportunity increases. Some will fight me. This is the coming conflict. I love all peoples and my land. I will fight for them all, your loving bridegroom, Jesus.
Wow, yeah. Beautiful.
And, there were several people yesterday afternoon before the show that were led to just spend fellowship time with him.
Right.
And then after the show, we went into our prayer time or just waited to see what words, and so many of our words were so similar. And, he is speaking powerfully. And even if our expectations aren't met, he is doing amazing things, and he's doing it corporately within our group. I mean, he's really speaking to us and giving us reason to have confidence in his leading, because so many of us, without any communication whatsoever, are getting very, very similar messages. So
yeah,
everyone should take that as a profound encouragement, I think. Keith, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Stepped away. Yeah.
Yeah, I
just wondered.
Go ahead.
Yeah, were you? What kind of experiences did you have yesterday? Were you having any similar things like that?
About the timing and all that.
Whatever.
Yeah, I definitely think the Lord is speaking as a whole group on that. I'm still trying to formulate the timing. Usually God will start showing me visions about the events, and then he'll start giving me a timing thing. He's been showing me lately that he shows me the year 2015 lately, and then he'll show me this the whole year, and he's been just showing me just insane stuff going on the entire 2015. So
yeah,
clearly showing me that 2015 is going to be all tribulation for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he also shows me the videos to back that up, which is like the Jubilee year, so September is going to be the chaos economically, and so I know that 2015 is going to be there. I don't make a date unless God really, he doesn't tell me dates very often. He usually gives me visions, and then I start formulating it, and then he'll confirm it, so I know this time when he gives it to me, it's going to be for real. I know we're really going to go, so he's starting to
mm-hmm.
give me more stuff. So I do know that, I know because corporately everybody's getting now. I know that 2015 is all tribulation. I do know that now the latest bit he gave me was that the tribulation will start in 2014. So we know we've got all 2015, and sometime in 2014 it will start. So on my personal opinion, I'm leaning on Feast of Trumpets because even though I try hard to not lean on that because of the fact that I wanted to come anytime. Well, in 2011, when God brought me back to him, immediately out of the blue after not hearing from him for 25 years, he was giving me powerful visions about the rapture and that Feast of Trumpets first, the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and we'll be rise, we'll be up in heaven with him. The last trump, they said at the it says at the last trump there, Well, on the Feast of Trumpets, they blow the 100 trumpets, and the very last one is, it's the Hegdolah, I can't say it right, but the last trump they blow, it's known as the last trump. It's a specific name, but they also know it as the official, the last trump, and the Bible says that the last trump, they'll blow the trumpet, will go. So I've always thought it was Feast of Trumpets, and then in 2011, nothing happened. 2012, God, I had made videos and I said, yes, we are for sure going on Feast of Trumpets in 2012, 100% for sure. And we were going to go because I had 1,000 angels in my room, and I went up to heaven, and it was delayed. So I was like, and the Lord told me he delayed. So because the angel held the trumpet, Jesus held it back. So, okay, so then in 2013, he told me he didn't delay because he said, I didn't tell you I didn't delay because I didn't delay. I'm like, all right, so you didn't delay. All right, I believe it. So I'm kind of formulating. I know most people are thinking we're going now, and I'm all for it, believe me. But I go back and forth between the fact that I had all those visions on Feast of Trumpets and then the fact that it could happen any time. You know, I'm absolutely open to going any time, and the sooner the better. But I tend to lean on the feast days because there's seven feast days. The first four have already been fulfilled by Jesus. The last three will be fulfilled in succession. Like probably the first four were filled pretty quickly together. The last three will fill pretty quickly together. You know, and then the next three available are rapture with Feast of Trumpets, and then you've got the second coming, and then you got the thousand-year millennium reign, which is I think it's what Day of Atonement and Tabernacles. So those are the three unfulfilled. One will be second coming, one will be the thousand-year millennium reign, and then we've got the possible rapture for it. But, you know, then there's also that question that Feast of Trumpets could be used for the Jews because of the fact they're going to be raptured as well. The 144,000 will have to be raptured. They're going to go hang out, but they're going to have to be raptured, you know. So Paul was talking to the Jews on that, you know. So, but I love when, you know, corporately when everybody's getting the now because it makes me feel like, well, you know what, then maybe it is now, you know. Based on the events, it seems like lately we've had a real uptick in crazy stuff. Like, it's you know, like if you look at the speed of everything, which I always analyze the events very closely from I analyze them from looking at the events, and I also analyze them from a spiritual realm when I look in the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, like Pat and I were talking about, you can see things. There's the speed of things has just took an upturn. You know, it just took an upturn now. And God told me a couple days ago, he said, I'm moving all the troops of the world around the Middle East so that the Psalm 83 war can happen in the Gog-Magog wars. Because you can see it, the troops are all moving in now for that war. Now, in the past, the troops would move there and then they would move away, right?
Okay, bye.
Syria was all hot and everything was hot, and then all of a sudden we took all our warships and we went back home. But this time, Lord told me he's not letting it go. Lord told me this time it's not going to happen. This time they're going to move there and they're going to stay there, and then the war's going to happen. Yeah, that's why Russia's sitting there, and that's why Russia, Lord told me, had to come down to the Ukraine in order to be near Israel. That was the plan, you know, because they're going to take out Israel. They're trying to. So that's why all the troops now are in place. I just feel like the speed is now, we've gone through a quick upswing in speed just recently, and now we're going to put troops, we're going back to Iraq. Lord have mercy. So this is, Lord told me Iraq was just another, it was a trick. It was another thing the enemy's using, but God's using it to get our troops in the Middle East for another big war. It's just another to get all the troops there, you know. It's, you know, and if you look at all the YouTube videos, they're all corporately saying that the Lord is coming back right now. You know, he is saying, it's not, the YouTube videos, because I scan about 300 of them a night, the message overall there is not, it's not about, it is about the rapture happening quickly. But the more the message that God is saying more through that is that the tribulation has to start now, and that's why we have to go. It's becoming more, and like God is saying, I need to take my eyes off the bride, and I need to put my eyes on Israel, and that's why I have to take the bride out. See what I'm saying? So
I totally,
that makes sense. It's not about, you know, we are the domino. We start the domino effect. When we go, the domino hits the other domino, and it keeps going. But we're the first one that knocks that second domino down. So we're not, I mean, I don't want people to take this wrong, but we're not important in the scheme of things, okay? We have to go because there's 500 things that got to happen or whatever. So we have to go, get out of the way, and then the Lord has put his eyes on Israel, and all those things have to happen. So,
yeah, I read
you know,
that.
We're
I
just the
that.
Start. We're not like some big
the
thing
domino
that
effect.
Happened in the middle. Exactly. You know, we're just the start. We're just, that's why we have to get out of the way. So God can put it. God never has his eyes on the bride in Israel at the same time. He's going to put the eyes. He doesn't deal with the Jews and the Gentiles the same. He's going to take us up, and then he's going to put his eyes hardcore on Israel and Israel's plan and, you know, dealing with all that and all the hundreds of things that got to happen. So, you know, until we go, none of this stuff can happen. And there's a time frame in the heavens of when this stuff has to happen. And, you know, there's so many things. I mean, we're talking about or one little rapture. Well, there's hundreds of things that have to happen in the tribulation. But no, there's a lot. So we have to get out of here, c'est la vie, so the thing can start rolling, because we're not important in that tribulation. We're not a player in it. We're out. We're bye-bye, you know? So, I mean, if I was a betting man, I'd put all my chips not on what God hasn't totally confirmed to me, but I will definitely make the announcement when he does. But as far as a betting man, I'd put all my chips on Feast of Trumpets right now. But I would not be turning down anything that happens sooner, though. Let me tell you that. I'm all for the nowadays and everything. I'm all for it. I want people to keep thinking it, dreaming it, planning it, asking God and all of it, you know, because I would love to be completely wrong in that whole thing. You know, I just, for me, I know that God's a feast God. He's all about the feast days and all that. So, you know, but again, those are Jewish feasts, you know. So the question to me is always with God when I ask him about the rapture. Do we need to go on a feast day or do we go on bowling night? You know, I call bowling night any old night. Jim said that's what I call bowling night. Do we go on bowling night or do we go on feast night? Which is important?
Just
because
don't bring
me,
the
I need to understand.
Right.
I used to love bowling.
Right.
Bowling was obsessed with
it. Oh, me too.
You know,
love it. Love it.
Oh, Pat, we're going to bowl
now. Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. My knees will bother me.
Oh, that'd be cool. That's my thing. I had to kind of accept that fact that it's still, I'm still working on it, accepting the fact, can God rapture us on a bowling night? Or does it have to be a feast night? Does it have to be an important night? Or can it just be bowling night? You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's when he wants that, no matter what night that is, or day.
Like several words people get, don't put God in a box. You know, God can do whatever he wants because he's God.
It's true. And it's absolutely true. He can do whatever he wants. I'm just looking from God's point of view, the things he's done in the past have all been on feast days. But the thing is, if it's Jewish feast days, then, we don't need to go on, you know, like Thomas said, we don't need to go at any time. You know, it could be any old time, you know. I guess we'll know soon enough, you know. But
I think Nancy wants me to read her dream again that she got the other day that you interpreted. Is everybody cool with that?
Oh, read it. Yeah, Tana's got a good voice.
Sure,
we'll really hear it. Go ahead.
All right. She says she woke up at 3:30 and fell asleep. I dreamt that dreamt the baby that I had was there. Also, my cousin had either been deployed or was coming home. She's in the military. I saw my love. I knew that we were getting married, and it was that day because he had to leave right away. He needed to get back to work the next day. I remember looking at him. He was in disguise. However, I knew it was him. I had to go to the store to get stuff. I went, and it seems like a huge store. It seems like some kind of huge store. I knew the store. I had a limited time because I was getting married. I had two helpers helping me to find the stuff, a man and a woman, and they were workers, I believe angels. While I was there in the store, I realized I had just given birth, and I was overwhelmed. I was wearing white. My love then texted me, "Will you marry me?" I started to smile in the dream. I was going to text him back to tell him that he should propose to me face-to-face, but I was too happy. I did find a baby lotion travel size. Now I was looking for a baby wash travel size. My helpers helped me to find them. Remember, I'd just given birth, so I'm weak, and I knew I overdid it in the store. I saw blood on my dress. The girl angel with me ran back to the office, where I ran in the back of her office, and got a huge gleaming white pad. I was leaving to go home to get married, and the helper said she cannot drive herself. She is weak. They both offered to drive me home. There were some obstacles, nothing major, but it was making home. But it was making it home with their help. These two helpers, I believe, were my angels, our angels. When I woke up, I was so happy. I heard the Lord say, "You didn't give me an answer." I believe He said that I was so screaming yes, and I believe He said so, that. I was screaming yes in my head. He said he heard me the first time. He was laughing. So that was Stacy's dream.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
And then
Jerry, one more thing I want to say about that too was the I always analyze God's words that he uses, you know, because I've been hearing the YouTube stuff for 3 years. So, like, in 2011, God was saying coming back soon. Okay. Then in 2012, he was saying, as a corporate structure, he was saying it coming back very soon. Okay. Then in 2013, he was saying it coming back very, very soon. So I started really listening. Okay, so you said, because God's soon and ours are, so that's why I've had to analyze it, get under the microscope and start looking at it, put the lights on and all that. So he said, you know, coming back soon, very, very soon. And then towards the end of 2013, he started saying it's imminent, you know, which is like any time. So that was a change in thing, imminent. And now it seems like he's saying I'm coming back now. So that's why I think that we're at the door now, and it'll happen.
Yeah, Keith, everything you said, I strongly agree with about timing.
I think
he's been showing me as the years have moved on, and whether it's been through study or words or messages from people who, you know, I know or hearing from the Spirit, Holy Spirit, everything is telling me virtually what you said, which is time is very short. The more dramatic, you know, the Great Tribulation basically is upon us, and things. You know, even in Scripture, he's shown me things, and I don't talk about it very much because it goes against conventional reading and teaching of, among other things, Daniel. But because I don't like to stir the pot, but I know what he showed me, and they are running out of time. The people who would have a one world control.
Yep.
Are running out of time, and their presumed leader is running out of time. And I think God was hiding it from even them. I think he was using these other traditional methods of understanding things to shield them from that understanding. At this point, I think they're beginning to click on. And now one of the reasons that their actions are becoming more obvious to everyone is because they're starting to get desperate with the understanding that there's much less time left than they expected.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, they are far from perfect. In fact, you know, in many respects, if it weren't for their secrecy, I'm not sure they would be effective at all.
Wow.
Because, you know, my sort of personal opinion is a lot of the things that I see really aren't very clever. It's just that they have power and secrecy in their favor.
True.
And without that power and secrecy, they aren't that sharp. And and they do, however, have power and a reducing degree of secrecy. But your timing, what you're saying, matches exactly with my general expectations, the things that he's been leading me and, you know, pushing me towards understanding for a really long time. Things are going to, things, you know, it's hard. Let's just say it wouldn't surprise me if the primary climax absolutely occurred in 2015.
In
2015.
Absolutely. And you know, we've got those red blood moons, and I keep telling the Lord, Lord, we have four red blood moons. These are twin years, 14, 15, twin years. We've got the red blood moons at the same time. I said, you can't, this is how I talked to God about the rapture stuff. Lord, you can't ignore 2014, because in the past, Israel was at war. So this is not one of these things where we go, well, in the past it was at war, but now it doesn't mean anything. No, it means something. Israel is supposed to be at war right now because the red blood moon happened, and every time it's happened on a feast day, they have been at war. So God told me, well, yep, it happened, and they will be at war because of it. Maybe not on the exact day, but it's going to happen. So, yeah, I feel like we can't just go through the red blood moons, you know, filing our nails, singing and having dance parties, and then just go into 2015 and wonder what happened, and we're still talking about the rapture,
right.
And, you know, most people are sleeping on the air now at that point, snoring, and we're just, you know, no. I believe that you can't throw away 2014. You can't do it. In fact, I would go as far as to say is you can't throw away the first one either, and you can't go past that second one without something happening because of the first one. That means that we have to have Israel at war right now because of the first red blood moon, you know?
Right.
Doesn't that make sense to you?
That makes complete sense to me, and I'll add that the most recent tetrad was the 67-68 one. The notable event for Israel was capturing Jerusalem on the 7th of June.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, you know, if you lay that pattern, and I can tell you, having looked at the tetrads, that while there is a little bit of variation, if you go all the way back into essentially recorded history since Jesus' time, almost, not every time, but almost every time, the most significant event for Israel or the Hebrew nations has occurred either completely before the initiation of the Tetrad or in the middle of them, before they were finished.
Yeah,
and
so
that pattern totally projects to the kind of time frame you've been talking about. It totally backs up this thing. You know, there's a lot to get into, maybe some other day, but that he's shown me. But, you know, the bottom line is there's far, far much less time based on everything I've been led to see and look at over many years than most people would presume. And that's one of the reasons it's so easy for me to relay, really, to other people the words like we've been getting recently, because, you know, he's been pressing on me to see it from this perspective for a very long time.
I mean, that consistent. That last red blood moon in 2015 is just a holy moly crazy thing. I mean, that thing is a red blood moon on the feast day, and it's a super moon on top of that, which is just so rare, a red blood moon on a super moon on a feast day.
Wow.
And, you know, these red blood moons are seen in certain parts of the world. That one's seen right over Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I mean, come on.
Right.
Hello. That's a holy hitter right there. That's like, well, you know. So, yeah, so when are you thinking, you're thinking, Jerry, for sure we would have to go before the second red blood moon, for sure, right? I think Kat thinks that too.
In terms of my thinking, absolutely,
what do you think?
More than one person has gotten September 24th, Feast of Trumpets, because it has to do with the wedding with Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's profound, Jerry. You've studied all that, right, on Feast of Trumpets? I'm sure you have. The wedding is...
Yep.
Right, I mean,
that would be the time.
Like, when are you getting married, right, and the father has to say, or the groom says, go ask my father, which is the same with us, and then they're in the, right, they're in the chambers, whatever, for 7 days, and we're for 7 years, which is the right, that whole, it matches the wedding of the bride, like, so to speak.
Yeah.
I see that, but here's the thing, sort of over time, years of chasing these things down and you know, trying to get into some of the Hebraic perspective, quite frankly, there are weddings associated with the majority, with basically all of the feasts except the fasts. You know, for example, Purim, and so on. And
Sukkah.
Yeah, so a lot of people do, you know, intellectually gravitate towards Feast of Trumpets, and it makes perfect sense. And it may, in fact, be correct, because I can't rule it out. But, you know, my expectation is that God is going to find a day that's going to be a bowling night for most people, that will also speak to the Israeli remnant. And what that combination is, I'm just not sure. But I
know.
I do believe he's going to do that.
I mean, how important of a bowling night does it have to be? Then we've got to study the bowling
night.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What's the most important one?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I know.
But you know what? He's going to do it in such a dramatic way when he wants the world to see him. It won't be bowling night anymore. You know, when he does it, it's not going to be bowling night anymore.
I know, but I'm just wondering, why would it be on a bowling night? Why would it not be on a feast? You know, I just go around.
Well,
that's my personal thing.
Because the enemy knows that in the past, if you study patterns of the Bible, and that's already out. And we have they didn't back in those days didn't know this, but we now know it because it's in the Lord's Word.
Yeah.
So the enemy knows that as well. So the enemy would totally try to shut. No one knows the day or the hour, but they know month or whatever. We can know stuff, but he's trying to. The enemy would say, "Oh, it's definitely going to happen on Feast of Trumpets because this is blah blah blah." So he's already gung ho. But he doesn't know when it's happening, but he knows the time is now, and it's going to happen any day. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It could happen.
Yep.
So that's why he's throwing out all his stuff now, because he's trying to do as much as he can before he's thrown down to the pit of fire.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
And plus, this is a Bible prophecy. So
give us the rapture date, Tana. What's the date? We need the day and the hour from you, honey. Come on.
Today, June 14th.
Yes.
And,
people have picked
yes.
up the 14th.
Anytime between now and midnight.
Okay.
Yeah,
we need to have
good.
A we need to have like a website. Like on the blog site, we'll put on there like a website on the blog thing where it'll be a chalkboard and it'll put Tana's name and the day or hour she says we're going and Jerry's name
moment.
And then Judy can update it all the time.
Hey,
anytime we know what's going on.
Yeah, perfect.
As Jerry pointed out earlier, it's going to be an insignificant night until the Lord does it. And then it's going to be very, if it was tonight, it would be like, oh, it's a bowling night. But really, is it 6:14?
No,
and again,
it's not a bowling
year,
night.
Yeah. Exactly, 2014.
Yeah, because Pat doesn't bowl tonight. We don't bowl tonight. It's not important.
The whole significance of 2014 being, one generation after 1914 is very significant.
Yeah, 6:14 is significant.
14.
Yeah, a lot of stuff with 14.
I have
generations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can easily say that I have at least 3 days right now that he's spoken to me directly about. And so I wouldn't be able to put one date on Keith's billboard. I'd have to have 3 billboards with my name next to 3 different dates because
that's cheating. That would be cheating.
I'm just saying that's where I'm at right now. I mean, and so because I was thinking about this earlier today. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
It is self-defining as a conundrum as far as I'm concerned. And and all that does is reflect our experience to this point. And, and we go
and
back,
I
Yeah.
About those events, right? The guy said that there was an earthquake going to happen, right? That expert, he's been accurate. He said July 12th and September 9th. So those always weigh very heavily in my mind about the rapture, because that's going to be a major quake in the U.S. on July 12th. And he's always been accurate.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah,
July
9th. 6/12?
Yeah, he's
talking
about
the 14th.
Or the June
12th. I thought it was
6/12. No, June 12th. I'm sorry.
It was
July 12th, honey.
July 12th. It's July
12th. Oh, July 12th. We have a month.
The word, God's word, he's the same today. I'm not sure the exact quote. He's the same today, yesterday, and
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Forever.
He is.
So he doesn't change.
No.
So, but, you know, we're not supposed to put him in a box either. You know, because he's God, he can do whatever he wants.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah, but Stacy wanted me to read the interpretation that you had gotten of her dream. I know I read it a while ago, but so Keith, you said you got most of it. Being tired in the dream was the bride being very weary and tired. The blood was the sin, and the white pad was how Jesus forgives our sins, which makes our garments white. The obstacle on the way home in the dream are the obstacles that or trials we're facing now before the we get home to see our Lord. So
makes sense.
Yeah, there is one date that he, many years ago, in looking at all the feasts, and, you know, many people have traditionally looked at Feasts of Trumpets, and he, through his, just, he really strongly impressed on me Yom Kippur, which is, you know, between the booths and Feast of Trumpets, and this was before anybody was speaking about it. And now you have, you know, several people who are really strongly focused on, in particular, next year, Yom Kippur, September 23rd, 2015. And subsequently, a couple of years ago, he showed me something else that connected directly to that date. And so, you know, there's something about it. And you know, and the most obvious thing is that that's a, you know, that's a commemoration of mourning. It's a day of mourning. And I think, you know, it could well be a day where the Israeli nation realizes possibly that they have abused and missed, because it's a day for remembering the wrongs of their forefathers. Well, what's the, you know, when history is written, what's the most dramatic wrong their forefathers have ever committed? It's the crucifixion of the Messiah. And not recognizing who he was, more particularly. And so it's just, you know, I'm not saying that's a rapture day, but I'm saying it seems like a day where they might recognize the error in full, or maybe have recognized it and then essentially ceremonially recognize it on that day. So whether it's this year or next year or what have you. But the one in 2015, I think, has a particular significance. And over the years, I've seen a lot of other people, or, you know, there's a lot of other ways to look at that. And, of course, that's just, I don't know, a week, not even a week, before the last tetrad. I don't remember what the date of the last tetrad is, but it's just after that.
Plus the plus there's two solar eclipses going on too. Now the lunar eclipse is when Israel is at war. The solar eclipses is when the world is war, and there's two of them. I'm not sure when those are. I forget. I have to look them up. But there's two. Do you know when those are, Jerry? The two solar eclipses.
There's one in between the two blood moons.
I don't remember them. Yeah.
I don't know the date though.
Which ones do you think? Is there one this year and one next year, or?
Yeah. Before October 8th, there's one. There's a solar eclipse.
Okay, that's supposed to be, the world's supposed to be at war during those
solar
eclipses.
Oh, I don't
doubt it. That's how it works. The lunar eclipse is Israel war. Solar eclipse is world at war. So that would make sense. If we get raptured, then the lunar eclipse hits, Israel will be at war again, then the world at war again. You know.
Now you look at the world. How could we not be at war very soon?
I know, exactly.
Between Russia and Iraq and everything else. It's a powder keg.
And those, you know, those troops are not backing off. The Lord told me, he showed me, they're not going back home like we did recently, with all of the U.S. going back home. They're staying there. So, exactly.
There's warships outside
of Iraq? Russia can't go back home. If they go back home, that's the end of all this stuff. Ain't nothing going to happen. Russia has to stay close to the Middle East because their country's so far up north. So
and they're running out of money.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. It's very important that they stay in that Ukraine area. Extremely, extremely important that they stay close to there right now. Because this, they're going to have to pull, you know, once Iran gets hit, they're going to grab Iran, Syria, and Turkey, and then come down and hit Israel, you know, as part of that Psalm 83 war. The Gog Magog is going to roll right into the Psalm 83, and then at that point, I don't know how it'll roll into that final war, but I do know it's going to roll right into there. Of course, we're going before Israel loads the jets, so I don't know. At this point, I think maybe Pat and I might have to go to Israel and load those jets and just go bomb Iran to get the thing rolling. We got to get that thing
going.
Yeah,
but the Russian ships are off the California coast. They're 50 miles off, so
where is this going? About our troops. They're mad about our troops being near there in the Ukraine. It's like we're upset they're near California, but to them, we're on their California because we're right next to their country. And we're like, no, this is fine. This is because of Ukraine. You know what I mean? We always have 101 excuses. This is because of Ukraine.
Yeah.
But we've got
And with Iraq, we're not sending in troops. We're not putting boots on the ground. We're going to be using firepower. Our ships, our warships are right out on the water aimed at Iraq. You know, so we'll see where that goes. But there was a leader talking from Iraq, and he said, "You don't have to worry about anything. We're gonna unite all the people in Iraq, and you're gonna see how the transition will be for us to take care of everybody in Iraq, and everybody's gonna get along, and we're gonna have a good government." So that came out today on the news. Yeah, well, we'll see.
They were saying something like we might work with Iran, and I don't know. I read something very.
They're trying to unite all of Iraq peacefully. So I don't know how
you
do that.
Well, the U.S. might work with Iran and bomb. Then there are warships over Iraq. I don't know.
But they're trying to peacefully bring Iraq into whatever. So that was
today. Well, that water kicks off, then they're going to be part of the Atlantic Ocean.
That's going to be bad.
Dam kicks off because Turkey's cutting the water off, and Syria got no water too. It's gone down 20 feet.
That's going to cause a war right there.
That dam cannot handle. Dam has to have that water there to hold up that wall. If that water comes down, that dam's going to break. They still be part of Atlantis. All Baghdad will be underwater swimming. It'll be the new island of Atlantis. You know.
I'm sorry. Oh dear God, it's such a mess. Such a mess.
Well, it's interesting.
Oh my gosh.
Countries of Euphrates gonna be wiped out. So, you know, again, like we're saying, these things have to happen. There's a lot of things that are more important than the rapture right now. Like all the tribulation events have to happen. We're only the start. We're the first domino. That's why we have to get out of here. Every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm surprised we're still here because all this stuff has to happen.
Okay, there's something else going on. People in Honduras, they're trying to escape, and the thugs are stopping the families from crossing, and they're keeping their children. They're molesting them, and they're saying, "Yeah, you're going to the United States. You're going to send us money ransom." I mean, it's a horrible story going on right now. People are fleeing Honduras, trying to get into Mexico, into the United States, and the thugs are kidnapping them and threatening them that you have to send us money and back if you get into the United States to get your family members back. Yeah, it's horrible. What these people are going through, seeing their children and parents taken away, and it's just horrible, horrible.
What other news, Pat, do you have?
Dear God.
You're our news representative.
The UN has the American flag flying, and below the flag is the gay pride flag. Picture
in Israel?
Oh, no, here at the United States. Hold on, guys. I think it might be the embassy in Israel. They're flying the gay flag under the it's on the American flag. I think this is in New York. It showed the picture.
Every day they're getting the states turned to gay rights. I think before we know it, every state's going to be turned over.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Like, in a way, almost all the states have to be turned over, it seems like, before we get out. I don't know. I'm not saying that for sure, but I'm kind of thinking, they all got to flip, so we go.
I'm telling you, it's just insane. I'm looking at the thing. Why doesn't he have? He's got all of the guns. Russia seeks UN resolution on Ukraine. Friday 13th, honeymoon moon. They're calling it the honeymoon moon. CME shockwaves. Muslim rioters stone police on Temple Mount. That's a new one. Evangelical church raided by abusive police. It's all kinds of stuff. Egypt, fourth horseman, Bible prophecy. Russia warns USA not to attack Syria. It's just one thing. Guillotines have arrived.
Yeah, there's
arrived.
Another dam. I was reading there's another dam in Egypt. Now, if that thing breaks, all of Egypt will be underwater. So that's another big thing that's probably going to break the
wow.
end.
Oh, wow. I
well.
Mean, you know. Oh, boy. Earthquake near Yellowstone, Utah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pat's been, she's the monitor now for Yellowstone. And please, I gotta read you something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to check my text message because Christina Williams just sent this to me. She said Yellowstone had 257 earthquakes in 14 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm not seeing the thing on Paul Begley here. On the it showed an American flag, and a gay pride a rainbow flag right beneath the yeah. I think it's ours.
Wow.
I think it's ours. And Israel
so, Pat,
has
when,
been
no, when's Yellowstone
gay
gone?
Pride.
When is, yeah,
we
well, Israel's always been big on gay pride around the world. That's their main.
Well, it could be our
thing.
Embassy in Israel with showing the American
Probably.
Flag with the gay pride flag. I read it earlier, but I think it was ours, but it could have been Israel because I have all his stuff on here and I'm not seeing it again.
Well,
so
they
I was
just
on this
had a gay pride in June, so now it's I think their turn.
Yeah.
Oh dear me. It sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you could fly a flag like that. I mean,
it's one of the signs. It's one of the signs of the
definitely.
Time. It's just like no.
Oh yes.
It's totally like that. Yes.
Yesterday in Israel was a big gay pride festival or celebration. I believe it was yesterday.
Well, that's probably what it is. But there's just, I mean, I'm seeing things here from Paul Begley now that I didn't see this morning.
Okay.
You know, so it's like just tons of horrible stuff going on. You know.
When is
you're
the expert on Yellowstone. When is we need a time and date for you when Yellowstone's going to be?
Well, nobody knows. Only God knows. But it's got to be soon. Well, we've got to be out of here before it goes because the whole world's toast. Some just die later than others. That's all. I mean, that's how serious it is.
257 earthquakes in 14 days.
I know. Unless you get your news from like Judge Report or one of these other places or maybe Paul, you're not going to hear it. I haven't heard one thing on regular news.
Insane.
I don't watch TV with the news on, and I turn it off. If half the world isn't blown up, I turn it off.
Oh, it's horrible. And I check Yahoo news every morning.
They don't tell us.
Nothing on Yosemite, you know, but then they've got Kim Kardashian. I'm like, okay, where's the priorities here? It's like, come on. And they hide all the major stuff, all the major earthquakes. They just don't even report it at all. It's like the world is – I wonder why when I've told people about earthquakes, they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, Keith, what are you talking about? I'm like, what are you talking about? Go check your news.
Okay,
wait, don't check your news.
Right.
They won't show it either.
Dabo 77 says, dirty bomb alert, radioactive device stolen from Mexico lab by gunmen.
New Mexico,
so here we go with this. I
saw one news item which just came up a couple of days ago, and I haven't really seen anybody else pick it up, but it was a little bit interesting because of our biblical perspective. There were, in Israel, there were three yeshiva boys kidnapped.
Yeah.
And these boys, what they are is they're young men or young boys, actually, but they go to school in rabbinic schools, and they fit the classic definition of the 144,000 in Revelation. They are the ones who are most like that. And the reason I found it interesting was obviously, I mean, it's an event in Israel. They are thought to have been taken by, you know, some named or terrorist organization, and they pretty much confirmed that. And so it's going to be part of the discussion over there. But the fact that there were three of them caught my attention. The other thing that is that several months ago, they changed the laws over there that the boys who were in yeshiva school did not have to participate in military training. They were protected, in a sense, from having to do that to pursue their religious studies. They changed the laws over there this past, less than 12 months ago, I think in the fall, where they are now going to be required when they get of age to, participate in the draft like all other Israeli citizens. All Israeli citizens are required to participate in military training at some point. And I just...
when I saw it, it just struck me as something that could become it's going to become, I think, a very big story before it completely plays out. And it's going to create a lot of discussion in Israel. It's going to really increase the awareness of this community and that community and that culture, and it's going to really draw the total population of Israel's attention sympathetically back to religious studies, I think. And now we know that in certain respects there's corruption within their studies, but just the notion, so much of Israel is secular, just like the gay thing in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is the actual seat of Israeli government, and it's relatively in the north. And I always think of it like Ephraim, which if you look up Ephraim in scripture, they were always pursuing idols and doing other things and basically making God unhappy. And this is the seat of their secular, largely, if not entirely now, secular government, through which there's a lot of corruption and a lot of bad decisions are made for the Israeli nation. I think God is going to put a lot of pressure on them. And I just have a feeling that these kidnapped yeshiva boys are going to be an instrument he uses to do that.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was thinking when I saw that they were missing, I'm like, huh, I wonder if they were translated. I wonder if God took them.
Yeah. That's pretty close to, it's almost what I was thinking when I saw it first. There's something about this that I think is going to become a much more interesting from everybody's point of view.
Go ahead,
Tony. I just was reading a headline that just came up an hour ago. War drums. Pentagon sends warships to Gulf. U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel ordered an aircraft carrier moved into the Gulf on Saturday, readying it in case Washington decides to pursue a military option after insurgents overwhelmed a string of Iraqi cities this week and threatened Baghdad.
Yeah, here we go. There's another story. I don't know if you heard this. A total of 13 aircraft suddenly vanished off radars for about 25 minutes on two occasions over Austria and neighboring countries. Austria's flight safety monitor said, calling for an EU probe into the unprecedented incident. The flights vanished from air traffic controller screens in Austria on June 5th and June 10th for 25 minutes each time. And they're just totally flabbergasted as to what happened, why that happened. You know, 13 of them. I mean, they came back on, but what happened? They don't know. They'd say unprecedented incident, you know. So that's really strange. Oh, my goodness. Weird stuff. That was a plane, yeah. Oh, boy. So you have all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. Weird stuff.
Sorry, I've got business to do here. The other day, I heard actually a discussion one of the days that I couldn't call in or listen live, and there was a discussion about, you know, the different things that, you know, or the ways that we hear God, or whether we, you know, have to be still or whether we can be active. And in that discussion, you know, my take was, I think we just need to do what we have to do for our mind to be still. And for some of us, you know, being physically active really, you know, frees our mind to be open and hear God. And for others of us, being still does. And I think a lot of that depends on the environment. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out there because it's really, I think, you know, it's our mental stillness that helps us hear his voice. And physically, mm-hmm. it's just a matter of, you know, where we're at. And hearing God's voice is something he's wanted us to do all along.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have been encouraging people to do that, and it's people have really had some success and growth there. And you know, the Israelites, when God led them out of Egypt, God's first choice, he wanted to lead them all as a group with his voice. You know, he had Moses gather them together and for an assembly, and he spoke to the people. And that was meant to be a model for how he would lead them in the future. No intermediary, not even Moses. He wanted to, you know, he offered and did speak directly to them. But it scared them very badly when the people heard his voice. And instead of recognizing what it was in themselves that made his voice scary, they decided God was scary. And so they asked from that point forward for Moses to be the intermediary. So Moses did do that. But that became too big of a task. And then God had Moses appoint essentially a board of people. And from there, the people kept going farther and farther away from the voice of God, eventually to the point where they demanded a king. And that was essentially a blasphemy, because God wanted to rule them directly, and he wanted to rule them through the priesthood. And eventually they decided they had to have a king, and it was largely their impatience that really led them to that. And eventually they got a king, and it was Saul, and he turned out not so great. And then most of the kings they've had have been not so great. And so now they yearn for the son of David, you know, Ben David, Messiah. And, you know, we know who that is. It's Jesus. But, you know, what we do and how the Holy Spirit is used to convey and communicate with God is not unlike God's desires from the very beginning. And people forget that God wanted to speak directly to the people as soon as he got the Israelites out of Egypt. But they found him scary. And we now know, as history played out, that they were also not most of them were not aligned with him. Most of them were embracing, you know, sinful ways. You know, a lot of them were not true Israelites or believers. You know, Moses had to do a lot just to convince people, the Israelites, that he was actually hearing from God. And many of them just went along with it because it looked like a good deal, as long as Pharaoh was being, you know, challenged. And eventually they were led out of Egypt. They thought everything was fine. Then they got into the desert, and immediately, oh, this isn't so great. So they weren't exactly long-term thinkers, and they really were not God-focused. But God wants us to be focused on him, and the first example of him trying to talk directly to people was actually the people of the Exodus. And they turned him down. And I thought that was something worth considering right now. I've got my computer locked up, so if anybody has called in, I can't even see you. I can't even I apologize. If there's something I needed to do in chat, I'm sorry, because I can't do it. I can't play any music. So I don't know if I can log out and log back in, or whether that will end the show.
Oh,
does
my
anybody
gosh.
Know?
Jerry's got us logged in now for a couple days in a row. We're going to have to do a 36-hour RCC session now.
Jerry.
There's going to be a lot of E&I.
Good job,
yeah.
Jerry. Thank you for doing that.
You can.
For logging it up.
Can.
Yeah. Yep. Judy will be like, yep. What happened? It keeps going on and on. I woke up. It's still going. Yeah, we're still talking. We're like,
no. Oh, no.
Yeah, right. Pat, what are you going to say? Pat's like sleeping. Pat, please talk for another 5 hours, and then I'll take over. And Joe will take over.
It's just us because I can't even click somebody's, you know, I can't unmute anyone. So it's
just us.
We're stuck here.
Oh, my goodness.
And that chat room's going to get out of control now if Jerry can't. Oh, man, can you imagine?
Oh, no.
Joe is trying to tell you how to do it. Joe is trying to get a word in to tell you that you can, Jerry. So let Joe speak.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, Jerry, you can just don't hit the end episode, and you can log out and log back in.
Okay. Yeah, I can't hit anything. What I've got to do is just shut my computer down and get it back going.
Oh, yeah, and you got to call back, you know, the number. You know what to do. But, yeah, you can redo that, and we'll go on without you, and then you'll be right back with us.
Okay, I'll do my best. Have fun.
There was a 6.5 earthquake, 5.6 earthquake in Japan just
Whoa.
A little ago.
Oh,
just, you know,
no. Wow.
Sad. Japan. 5.6. I keep saying 6. It's 5.6.
Okay. Pat,
wow.
Can you read? Why don't you read he and I?
Yes. Okay. He says, she was saying, oh, Lord, I'm so very little. Even what I have is only what you have given me. And he says, ask for more. Ask better. And although you are very far from perfection, ask me for it unceasingly in order to bring you nearer to me. How many blessings you miss by not asking for them? And he says, let me see over here. When you have entered into the light, you will comprehend. Until then, you will just feel your way in truth. You will be able to take love only little by little. Otherwise, your mortal eyes would be wounded. But when the eye of your inner vision looks deep into the infinite, you will discover your poverty, and you will be overwhelmed with gratitude to God for having stooped down to your nothingness. And she says, perhaps from now on, my only reason for living will be to thank you. And he says, the way to thank me, you know, is to love me, to be one with me at every moment of life, never to imagine that you can be there and I somewhere else. Wherever you are, there I am. Oh, my child, what love is mine. Make it your work to believe. Is that so difficult? Try often, and you will please me. So there you go. I have that thing from Darling Sala I can read on prayer about pouring out your heart if you want me to.
Yeah, read it. Yeah, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. She says, have you noticed that when we pray, we have a tendency to say pretty much only nice things to God? We tend to pray pleasant, congenial, courteous prayers to God and then gripe and complain to everyone else. I notice it when my grandchildren pray before they eat. They may have been arguing, fighting like cats and dogs as we eat down at the table, as we sat down at the table. But when they fold their hands and close their eyes to pray, they talk to God in the sweetest, most angelic voices they can muster up, usually about half hour an octave higher than their more normal voices. Are we adults so different? If only we could pour out our hearts to him in all honesty until there's nothing, no circumstance, no emotion we have not told him about, we would come closer to what God meant prayer to be. Instead of bearing all our own burdens or burdening someone else with them, we would learn what it means to take refuge in God. Trust in him at all times, O people, says David. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 62, verse 8. To trust God at all times does not mean I should suck it up when circumstances are bad. To the contrary, trust means I recognize he is the one to whom I can and should pour out my heart openly and freely. Real trust is honest, not stoic. Real faith believes that God is big enough to handle anything I say to him. This doesn't mean I should blame God for everything in life that doesn't go exactly as I think it should go. And it doesn't mean I should constantly complain to him, not recognizing the great blessings he has bestowed on me. But it does mean I can be totally honest with God. After all, he knows what I'm thinking anyway. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord, says Lamentations 2, verse 19. Thank God for counselors who listen to us when we need to talk to someone about our problems. But I have a feeling a lot of hours are spent in counselors' offices rather than on our knees because we have not learned to pour out our hearts to God. Sometimes you may even need to use a notebook in your prayer time so that you can write down exactly how you feel. I have found that very helpful when I've been stuffing feelings in some back closet of my mind instead of eternalizing them to the Lord. God will listen as we pour out our hearts to him. So why don't we do it more? Probably because we don't want to admit some of the thoughts and feelings that lie hidden in the dark recesses of our hearts, Job said. How painful are honest words, Job 6, verse 25. Pouring out our hearts to God is exactly what we need, though, for God desires truth in the inner parts. That's Psalm 51, verse 6. Are you feeling depressed or worried today? Pour out your heart freely to the God who is your refuge, your sanctuary, and your safe haven. So there you go.
Beautiful. I'm back.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi. Welcome.
Did you figure it out? We did not. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we did not crash the show, and I got into chat,
good.
So I think it's all good.
Great.
But
great.
We
have 5 minutes.
Never had. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
You know, this, let's see, I'm looking at a list here. Nick Droppin, I saw in chat that Judy wanted to share a testimony with him, and so I don't think, he dropped off the line when everything got mixed up, and so I don't think we'll be able to do that today. I don't know. We can do it tomorrow, I guess. But sorry, everybody.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
no. Maybe it's meant for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It might be. Well, apparently, because I certainly didn't.
Wow.
Anyway.
I'm looking at full.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
It says Iraq is falling apart. Tens of thousands flee. Oh man. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, hon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's okay. Well, I tried to play this the other day, and I didn't get it right. And we've got just enough time to do this and come back. So
okay.
I'm going to play a little Elvis.
My brain is flaming.
Jesus is our hunk of burning love. Let's ask him to come, bride.
Okie dokie.
Let's ask him to come.
Okay, Lord
second.
Jesus, come and fetch us. Come get us, Lord.
Come to the bride. Come get us.
We's waiting.
Love you, Jesus. Love you, Tara. Love you, Pat.
Love you all. Love you, everybody.
Love,
you, love everybody.
Love
you, buddy, buddy, buddy.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Oh, sure. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, everybody.
Love you, Roman.
Roman, everybody. Chat, everybody. Love you guys.
Yeah, everybody in the chat. Everybody listening.
Everybody listening. Everyone listening. We love. I love you all. Family, family.
All right,
oh, yes. Okay.